God's presence and my presence is a winning combination. Hallelujah. David Livingstone, the famous missionary to Africa, said, "I'll go anywhere as long as it is forward. I will go anywhere as long as it is forward." Before I continue, I just want to comfort those of you whose loved one is promoted to glory, and they are now in a better place than you are. Nevertheless, you need comforting from the Lord, and I pray that God will comfort you this morning. Moving forward is our message series for this month of August. Today, I'll talk about our winning actions for our winning moves. Our church has been moving forward since we started in 1986 with 10 people in home Bible study in Hacienda Heights, after renting 5 worship spaces in 5 different cities. We bought and sold 2 churches in West Covina before we moved to this large campus 13 years ago. Now, with all these moves, am I not tired and weary? No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm just 30 years older than when we started our church from scratch back in 1986. Glory to God. Our best years are yet to come if you and I remain united, humble, and grateful to God for his goodness to us in growing our congregation and our properties to our present size. To God be all the glory. Let's give him a big clap offering. Praise God. This sermon about our winning actions is not a light dessert. It is a heavy meal. Not a light dessert, but a heavy meal. Last night, our next door neighbors had a long and loud wedding celebration with their dining, dancing, and mariachi music that almost busted my ears, because they were just next door. They stopped at 1 o'clock in the morning. Obviously, nobody from the neighborhood called the police to stop them. Now, you know what I'm hinting at? I need God's miraculous strength to preach this message today after not having the proper rest I needed last night. It so happens that the text today is very appropriate to the condition. Turn to Isaiah 40. Let's look at verses 30 and 31. And we're going to repeat verse 31 from another translation. Isaiah 40, 30, 31 in the New King James Version. God says, "Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now, I want you to underline the word "wait" in verse 31 we just read together. Now, let's repeat the verse from the NIV. "But those who hope..." Now, I want you to underline the word "hope." "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint." The historical context of this passage today goes back to verse 27. On the screen again, this is the historical context for verses 30 and 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? So God is repeating to them their complaint. That's the historical context. At this time in the history of Israel, the people of God had become despondent. Say, despondent. Somewhat depressed, thinking that God no longer cared for them due to their long time and repeated failures by violating God's commandments given to them through Moses. Instead of confessing and repenting of their failures, God's people complained to God. Don't we do that sometimes? I think most people do that sometimes. But being gracious and merciful, God encouraged his people. Thank God for his understanding. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy, that even when we are complaining, he extends to us his great mercy and love. Amen? Now, from being tired and weary and not knowing how to cope with their failures, God encouraged his people with our text. So let's look at the text again. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know what? When you and I are despondent or depressed or discouraged or downhearted, we lose our strength. This is when we need God to touch us and give that strength that we need. Amen? Now, let's do a little semantics here. Semantics means word meaning, study of word meaning. The Hebrew word translated wait and hope is kewa. Kewa. Now, which is more correct? Wait or hope? Actually, they're both correct. Words are like that. They are translatable by one or two or three words. So the rest of the translations, 7 verses 1, use the word wait. Only the NIV use the word hope. Now, they're both correct depending on what they emphasize. Right? So by reading the two texts from two different translations, you're given a fuller view of the text. Now, in Hebrew, waiting is not merely killing time. It is time of confident expectation. Waiting on the Lord in Hebrew implies a present predicament, confidently expecting God to do something about it. While the word hope in Hebrew implies God's purposes for us in this life and in the life to come, expecting to do or to allow what is best for us now, in the long run, or in eternity. So those two words give us a fuller view of what God wanted to share with his people. For moving forward, knowledge of God is power. Knowledge in itself is power. Mathematical knowledge, political knowledge, all the different branches of learning, knowledge is power. But for our message today, we are referring to God's knowledge, or knowledge of God, which is power. Knowledge of God begins with understanding who God is. That's Theology 101. Understanding who God is. So we need to read more text from the same chapter, Isaiah. We're going to show them on the screen to save time. Just look at the verses, and I'll give you the points from each verse. In verse 25, God is the incomparable God with no equal. That's who God is. In verse 26, God is the creator and the sustainer of the universe he created. Verse 26. In verse 27, He is the everlasting God who does not grow tired or weary. In verse 28, he is the God with unfathomable understanding. In verse 29, he is the God who gives strength to the weary and gives power to the weak. Praise God. Amen. Now, knowledge of God includes not just understanding who he is, but also includes his promises to his people. Now, for the third time, let's look at the text again. Why am I going back again and again to the text? Because I want to drill this into our consciousness, because these two verses are powerful. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. This is God's promise of renewed strength for those who show their dependence on him by waiting on him. This is God's promise to exchange his everlasting strength with a worn-out strength of his people who are humbly waiting for him and hoping in him. Now, we go to the questions on your outline. How can we continue to move forward in our spiritual life and our mission in life? Amen? Is that amen to you? Is that okay? Okay. How can we continue to move forward in our spiritual life and our mission in life? You know, you cannot be spiritual without a mission in life. All spiritual people have a mission. Have a mission. And of course, our big mission is to share the gospel with people all over the world. Now, by having our strength renewed on a daily basis through our contact and communion with God, which is our personal devotion, we continue to move forward. When you neglect your daily personal devotion, you'll get stuck somewhere. This is the problem with all people, pastors included. So busy doing many things and they neglect their devotional life and they get stuck, right? Sometimes they get burnout. But repenting and surrendering to God are bad habits and bad attitudes, our bad temper that drain our mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical strength is necessary from time to time as God points out these things in our lives. Agreed? Okay. How can we soar, second question, run, and walk without getting tired and weary? I'm just repeating the question. To soar or ascend or fly, Psalm 24, 3 to 6 gives us basic instructions. Let's read them. Psalm 24 on the screen. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. No fake news here. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Here are the common sense insights from here. Ascending and standing on the hill of the Lord, as we all know, is a metaphor or a figure of speech. Figure of speech for soaring, flying, ascending up toward God's heavenly presence. Clean hands, pure heart, not lifting the soul to an idol, and does not swear by what is false, are character traits. Please repeat with me. Character traits. Character traits that are required for soaring into God's heavenly presence. Righteous living as a result of a right relationship with God is required for soaring or ascending into the holy presence of God. We cannot just, you know, dance up and down and end up somewhere there in the skies with God. It's more than that. Now, Soaring into God's heavenly presence gives us a heavenly perspective. Again, please say with me, heavenly perspective of our life on earth, which gives us a clear view of our life. Okay? Like our work and our business, whatever your work is, businessman, banker, nurse, doctor, lawyer, engineer, so many different professions represented here. So when we are up there and we look down here, we have a heavenly perspective of our life, including all of this, our business, our work, our marriage, and our family life. You know, sometimes you're so close to your husband, you don't see him. You are so close to your wife, you don't see her. You are so close to your children, you don't see them either. But when you go up and look down and have a better perspective from God, you see everybody clearly. Amen? Hallelujah. What else do you see from a heavenly perspective? The proper management of your time, the proper management of your money, the proper management of your physical and mental energies. You see them from a heavenly perspective and you change your views about what you're doing. Also, our plan and preparation for our remaining years on earth, regardless of our age. You could be 18 or 88. You have remaining years. I have fewer remaining years than most of you. I'm 78 going to 79. So if you're just 18, you have a lot of remaining years ahead of you. Nevertheless, when you go up into the presence of God and you look down to earth and review your life, your remaining years, so you are 18, going to college, now you are graduated, looking for a job, now you are getting married, looking for a home, right? You see that scenario from a heavenly perspective and your perspective changes. Amen? Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Okay, now let's go for run. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 gives us practical instructions. It reads, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Practical instructions. One, if you want to run, do this. Get rid of everything that hinders. I don't know what hinders you. Get rid of everything that hinders. Verse one. Get rid of the sin, singular, that easily entangles. Do you know most of us have one sin that easily entangles? To some people, it's hot temper. Some people, it is worry. To some people, it is refusing to forgive. Whatever it is, there is a sin that easily entangles people. Do you know what is yours? Okay. What do you do with that? Get rid of it. Put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. Confess it. And then forget it. And then run with perseverance or patience the race marked out for us. Still verse 1. The most important is fix our eyes on Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, marathon runners or runners in a running competition, they focus their attention on the finish line. People are watching, you know, saying this, they don't look at them. Their eyes are fixed at the finish line. We easily get distracted, you know, by people praising us, patting us on the back, congratulating us for all our accomplishments and so forth. Sometimes we get derailed. So wherever we are in the race, we should be focused on the finish line. In this case, it's Jesus. The finish line is Jesus. When we see Jesus face to face, that is it. That's why the writer says, fix your eyes on Jesus, not on other people that bother you. people that upset you, people that sometimes want to pull you down all the time. But concentrate your attention on Jesus, who will never fail you. Amen? Okay. Now, let's go for a walk, the third verb. To walk with God, let us look at Enoch's example, Genesis 5, 21-22. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he retired. No, too young for him to do that. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. That's a long walk. 300 years. Now, the writer to the Hebrews commented on this record of Enoch in chapter 11, 5 and 6. The writer to the Hebrews tells us how he did it. It's by faith. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, meaning he didn't die, he just went to heaven, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Look at verse 6. Most powerful verse. One of the most powerful verses anywhere in the scriptures. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe two things. One, that he exists. Two, that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Amen? So, like Enoch, decide and start to walk with God. Some people keep on deciding. There is no action to the decision. So, when his first son was born, he was 65 years old, he decided and he started to walk with God. Do you know somebody said, the road to hell is paved with decisions? Decisions that are never carried out. But Enoch, after his first child was born, decided and then he started to walk with God continuously until he was taken up by God. Amen. So here's the background to Enoch's story. Enoch's generation was very wicked, very evil. The reason why God flooded the earth and drowned everybody else except Noah and his family. That's how wicked that generation was. What am I trying to tell us? Like Enoch, by faith, we can walk with God regardless of the wickedness around us. You know, wickedness in America is growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. I've been here since 1971. I've never seen America worse than this. But that's no excuse for us not to walk with God. The generation of Noah was worse than this, and yet he walked with God. Amen? Okay, next scripture. Let us look at what God said through the prophet Amos. Chapter 3, 1 to 3. Hear this word the Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the whole family I brought up out of Egypt. You only have I chosen of all families of the earth. They were so special, one of a kind, unique. You only have I chosen of all the families of the earth. Therefore, why is this? I will punish you for all your sins. Oh God, I thought I'm so important. I'm chosen, I'm unique. I don't understand this. How can you punish me when I'm chosen and unique? I'm trying to review, you know, the current theology floating around here. That because you are chosen, you live under grace, God cannot punish you anymore. Away with that. That's not biblical. Okay? So, verse 3. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Who is God referring to? Himself and his people. Can you and I walk together unless we agree to do it? No. You see, God will speak against us when we sin against him. Verse 1, whoever we are, don't brag about your being chosen, being special, full of grace and mercy and truth and love and so forth. It doesn't matter. Verse 1, God will speak against us when we sin against him. Verse 1, look at verse 1. Our unique privilege of being chosen by God does not exempt us from God's punishment for our sins. Verse 2. The end of verse 2. Walking together with God is a bilateral or two-sided agreement between God and us based on God's condition. You know, God is God. We walk with him on his terms, not ours. He dictates to us the condition for walking with him. So if we understand that, we submit to God and say, yes, God, I'll walk with you. I understand the condition. Now, God's condition is twofold. One, turn away from our sins. Why did he rebuke them for their sins? Why did he warn them that they'll be punished for their sins? Because he wanted them to repent. Do you know the preparation for repentance is the fear of God? When a person lost the fear of God, he'll never repent. Just go on and on and on and on and on sinning because he thinks he's immune. Immunity. He's immune. No, that's not right. Okay? So, God's condition is twofold. Number one, turn away from our sins, which we call conversion. Conversion to Christ. And then begin to follow him, which we call discipleship. These two always should go together. You're converted, you turn around from your sin toward God, toward Christ, and now you begin walking toward God. That is discipleship. Amen? Last reference, 1 John 1, verses 5 to 7. The apostle of love, he says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. Say, God is light. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. In Pauline, I should say, Johannine theology, light represents righteousness and darkness represents unrighteousness. You read the letters of John, you see that over and over. In verse 6, if we claim, who is we? In this particular context, who is we? John and the people reading the epistles, not the people outside the church. Correct? If we claim to have fellowship with him, because the people outside never claimed that either. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie. Say, we lie. And do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, see, he's talking to Christians because non-Christians never walk in the light. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sins. Okay, let's correct this wrong theology floating around from Singapore, okay? When you got converted, whatever sins you do, they're automatically purified by the blood of Christ. Wrong theology. Because the condition to that is walk in the light. Walk in the light. If you intentionally walk in darkness and you claim the purification of the blood of Jesus over your life, you're lost. Amen? Turns my ears red sometimes because of this, because it's poisoning a lot of young people's mind. Here are the instructions. Number one. If you are truly walking in the light as a believer, stop lying by claiming to have fellowship with God while you are walking in the light. Stop lying by claiming to have fellowship with God while you are walking in darkness. Like this pastor who came to visit us a few months ago, he was in a seminar and the speaker was saying, when you are sinning, don't confess your sin. Just confess your righteousness in Christ. And he said the illustration given almost blew me away from the conference room. Say, for example, you are on your way to a motel to have sex with somebody who is not your wife. and you are already committing it. Instead of confessing your sin, you say, I am the righteousness of Christ in God, in Christ. I'm the righteous. You are doing the sin and you're confessing your righteousness. What kind of teaching is that? Because when you confess your sin, this person says, you put guilt into your heart. You don't have to put guilt into your heart. Your conscience is there. The Spirit of God is there. The Word of God is there. Hello? Hey, Pastor Fred, you are on your hobby horse again. Yes, I am. I'm coming down now. Okay. Stop lying by claiming to have fellowship with God while walking in darkness. Darkness stands for sin, and light stands for life or righteousness. We cannot walk in darkness and walk in the light at the same time, philosophically speaking, theologically speaking, spiritually speaking. You cannot be in the light and in the darkness at the same time because they cancel out each other. Wherever there is light, there's no darkness. Amen? So, for us believers, Jesus' blood purifies us as we continue to walk in the light, because when we walk in the light, the Spirit of God will always tell us what is wrong with us so that we can confess it to God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Again, this teaching, no need for confession, no need for repentance, is taboo in evangelical Christians' circles who understand the Bible. You know what? Look at the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Seven churches in the book of Revelation. What is the key word there? Repent, 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 repent. Seven times. Its church was exhorted by Jesus to repent. If there is no necessity anymore to confess and repent, why is that? Hello? I promise you, I'm coming down from my hobby horse. I cannot, you know. I'm getting down now. Application. Application. Our Christian life is dynamic, not static. Dynamic power to walk with God is the strength we receive from God on a day-to-day basis as we keep in touch with God. To soar, to run, and to walk means our Christian life must not be stagnant, but progressive. Hallelujah. To make the right moves, we need to understand God's nature, God's promises, God's purposes for our lives. This is why we need to deepen our understanding of God, deepen our understanding of God's promises, and deepen our understanding of His purposes in our life. This is why we need more than pie and ice cream or feel-good messages in order to deepen our spiritual understanding, to go deeper and deeper in our spiritual maturity. Yesterday in the Saturday service, we had some guests, first-time guests, and you know they were blessed, they told us, and they say they like the meat. They say they've been exposed to all kinds of teachings, very light. They call it light Christianity. We believe in light Christianity also, but not all the time. Not all the time. You cannot grow strong disciples with light messages. You cannot. If it's always light, you cannot. Okay? You can grow a huge congregation, but growing deep Christians is impossible with cream and ice cream preaching all the time. Now, we must move upward to God to get empowered to go forward. So what I'm saying is you have to go up before you go forward. Amen? So we move upward toward God through the wings, say wings, of Bible intake and prayer. I have not seen a bird here that can fly on one wing. Right? There's no balance. So we move upward toward God through the wings of Bible intake and prayer, the basic spiritual disciplines we need to ascend into God's heavenly presence like an eagle. Our strength to soar like an eagle comes by waiting on the Lord, that is dependence, and by hoping in the Lord, that is expectation. Amen? So, with that, let's do some evaluating here. Let's evaluate our lives. This is you and I doing this individually, personally. Look at the screen. The two evaluation points are here. Am I moving spiritually? Am I moving forward spiritually? Or am I stuck in the mud of worldly pursuits and worldly pleasures? Let that sink for a few seconds. Second question. How can I stay fresh in my spiritual vitality to soar, to run, and to walk in the strength of the Lord? The answer is putting into practice this message. Putting into practice this passage we just explained to us this morning. I should like us to stand and read this text for the fourth time. I want you to go away with this powerful text in your mind. Forget my message. Don't forget this text. Let's all read from the screen. Okay? Let us read with gusto. Let us read with enthusiasm. Let us read with dynamism. Okay. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah! 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 Praise God. I have decided to follow Jesus. The singers will sing, and we're going to do some altar call this morning.